Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for being our God. We thank you for blessing us and allowing us to be here today. May your Spirit be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning, our offering is for our Conference Faith Advance, which helps many areas of our conference, including camp meeting and our educational system. And we are just thankful that we can be a part of a body of churches that support each other around the conference. And so the deacons will stand now and we'll take our offering together. Lord Jesus, this morning we thank you that we're part of a worldwide family that you guide and direct. And as we give today, we pray that you would guide and direct these funds so that they best advance your cause in our local areas. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Children, I think it's time for your story. It's time for you now. Come on up. We're going to have some fun things, so you better come. You might miss out on the fun things. Let's come right over here. Jesus always loved the children to come around. Come up. Happy Sabbath. Are you having a happy Sabbath today? Somebody's coming. Oh, Katie's happy with her little brother when he comes. And I wished I had a brother to come, but I don't have one anymore. Are you happy today? Let me hear it. Yes, I'm very happy. Last Sabbath, I missed you. Okay, are you listening? Because I'm going to ask you a question. Why did I miss you? I wasn't here. Do you know where I was? Can somebody tell me? I was in Honduras, and I saw little children like you. I saw children like this. I saw children like that. Many, many children. Do any of you have a special, special friend? Do you? Do you have a special friend? Well, I have a special friend. Here is my special friend. She lives in Honduras. And I met her 3 years ago. And each year I go, when we come, she runs and grabs us. She hugs us. She kisses us. Not only me, but Dr. John. And anytime she can, she will be with us. And just before we left, she brought me a pretty, pretty card. But inside that card, she wrote a note. Now, I can read some of it because it's written not in English. It's written in Spanish. And fortunately, when I was like you boys and girls and got a little older, I took Spanish. But she told me how much she loved me. She told me how much she will miss me when I go back. But she asked, I hope you come again. And that's my special friend. And I hope you boys and girls have some special friends. But this morning I want to tell you a story about Sydney. Now I know we have a Sydney here. And Sydney is a young girl. But what I'm going to tell you about is a young boy. Sydney was going, his mother at one time went to church, but all of a sudden she stopped going to church. She stopped praying. She stopped doing all those things. But Sydney went to church 3 to 4 times a week because they were having some special meetings, and he liked the preacher. And he liked the songs they sing. Did you sing the songs this morning? Well, that's what Sydney would do. He sang the songs. And this one night, the preacher was talking, and all of a sudden the preacher said, if you want to have Jesus in your heart, come up to the front, and we're going to pray. And Sydney thought, that's what I want. I want Jesus in my heart, but I really want Jesus to be in my mother's heart. I want her to be loving. I want her to be kind, and she's not being loving and kind to me anymore. And so he went up to the preacher, and he went front, and then he got to the preacher, and he said, I want to talk to you. And so they had prayer together, and then the preacher in Sydney sat on the front pew. And the preacher says, "What is it you want to talk about, Sydney?" "Well, I want you to come to my home. I want you to come and visit my mommy. Maybe you can help her to know Jesus again." "Well, Sydney, I can do that, but you have to do one thing first. I want you to go home, and I want you to talk to Mother, and I want you to ask her why she doesn't love Jesus and want to pray anymore." "Oh, I don't think that'd be good. I don't think Mother would like that." "No, you must do it." So Sydney went home. He walked in the door, and he said, "Mother, I want to talk to you. I want to ask you something, Mother." And he said, "Mother, why don't you come to church, and why don't you pray anymore?" "Oh, you need to go to bed. Go to bed. You go to bed, Sydney." "But Mother, I want to..." "No, you go to bed." So he went to his bedroom, and he prayed, "Jesus, help Mother. Help her to be kind." And pretty soon he heard the steps, footsteps. Oh, he got frightened because he thought, the way I talked to Mother, she's probably coming and going to spank me. But Mother came in, and she knelt down by the bed. And she said, "Sydney, you're right. I need to love Jesus." And he jumped out of bed, knelt down with her, and they prayed together. And the next night of the meeting, Mother and Sydney were there. Boys and girls, you can be a missionary here. You don't need to go to Honduras to be a missionary, as some of us have been able. Maybe you have a friend. Maybe you have a mother or a daddy that doesn't know Jesus like you. Be a missionary right in your home. Okay, you may get your baskets. And boys and girls, before you get your baskets, Mrs. Lutz wants to say something. When you get a basket, get your one basket. Pick an aisle. Sometimes the children don't go to the outside aisles, and I see members wanting to give a donation. So be sure you cover all the aisles. Have a blessed day.
I'd like to invite everybody to meal. We're going to seek the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, again, it's so humbling to be back in the United States and to have the opportunity to actually speak to you. And church is a little different today. There's no monkey listening. There's no dog in the aisle, but just believers who have our hope in you. And I pray that our hearts will be open to you always. In your name, amen.
The next part of our program, we're going to show you some slides from the construction projects that we worked on down there. We worked on two projects. First project was to finish the stairs at the front of the boys and girls dorm. And then the second project was to build a storage building for a variety of purposes, some for our tools, some for the kitchen supplies, and some for the Casita Feliz. So as soon as we bring this up, just so you know, Jim brought his computer this morning just by chance, and the main computer went on the fritz this morning. So anyway, I'm just going to narrate these for you as we watch them. If you could turn the lights off. This is what it looks like from the plane coming over the Caribbean, and that's what it's like after you've flown all night. And we had friends that we met from Canada, a lady named Diane Ward on the right in the white shirt. Their friends came and installed a huge playset that was donated. And we got very intimately acquainted with blocks this year. And so you can see that I didn't count how many, but it looked like maybe, maybe 500, somewhere in that neighborhood. Willie was in charge of the mortar, so he carried a lot of concrete, and so did Danny. And Allison was a multi-purpose person. This is Ruben in the yellow poncho. He's from down in Visalia. And Pollo was there. He's still in Texas. And then we made some trusses. But this is what the buildings looked like the first day we started working. It's right next to the kitchen and the buildings that we stay in. That's Jimmy Mian. He's our lead contractor this year. He went with us last year, and also our first year we went to Honduras. So he would set the first block, and we'd go from there. That's Gavin with Raquel, and you can see some of the other people. But we laid a lot of block, and it was really cool to go from not knowing anything. The bags of concrete weigh 100 pounds down there, and so this is the steps that we're building in front of the girls' dorm. And from up above, you can see where we're going to be building those steps. And everything's mixed in a small mixer, and I think Mike was pretty tired after the first day. But both Mikes worked over there, and they did a great job. That was the first pour, and then we built three more steps down and then a bottom platform. But you can see the girls and boys live on the right, girls live on the left. And Mr. Green Jeans was there. I haven't seen him in a long time since I was a kid. Lots of pretty orchids and flowers down there. This is the Lynn Harris family. This is Leslie's oldest brother and Gavin, their son. And Sophie, and then Jenna, their niece. And they became pretty good friends there with our group, and they helped out a lot. There's Michelle. She's a nurse in Southern California. This is her fourth year coming. And Anya was there, and Charlene from North Fork. And there's Samson S. there, I guess, holding everything together. But anyway, I caught a lot of pictures of them working, and they had a lot of fun building the back wall the first day. There's Mike from Alaska and with some helpers. And Gavin is becoming good friends with Michelle. Gavin has autism, but he had a great time. He loved Leroy's food, and he just had his favorite food every night. This is Fern. She's one of the daughters of, she's the daughter of Nellie Youngberg. And once in a while, there'd be a little downtime to see who had the best etiquette. So, but there was a lot of block filling. The little girl that you see there, his name is Kenya, and she lives next door to the campus in a very, very primitive home, and you'll see her home later on. Team R Squared stands for Ruben Rojas. There was, and Raquel Rodriguez. There was three different teams that decided they would group up together in their block work. And John Lynn Harris, he was the one that cut the specialty blocks. We went to Copan for a day to visit the National Ruins, and that's not the National Ruins. Mike got some interesting... But that's the crew over there, and you can see the next level of steps, and it turned out really nice. This young lady, Sophie, had 8 Band-Aids on her 10 fingers. The blocks really wore her fingers out. So we started building the stem walls forward, and everyone got a picture once in a while of what was going on. That's the back wall after it reached full height. So I got Shani a good picture there. We had to tend to that. And that building's going to be plastered and finished since we've left. The macaws would come and take our food from our hand when we were down there in Copan. It was really nice. It was very cool weather while we were there this year. In fact, one morning it was all foggy, and we were kind of thankful because the last day it got sunny and it got quite warm. But you can see all that mortar that comes out of there. There was, I don't know how many bags that Willie mixed, but there was a bunch. But that's the building as the front, the back, and middle walls were finished. And it's going to store a lot of valuable supplies for future trips when we go down there. And then we started working on the front walls. And the last day that we were working, some of the Hondurans that are down there will be finishing the project for us because we just didn't have enough time to get everything done. Over the past few years, many of our supplies that we leave down there develop legs and leave. Lionel in the striped shirt, he owns the large hardware store in town, and he helps out a lot. But now you can see how the steps are coming out. They're starting to look really nice. We're getting ready to pour the last layer. And you can see all the water. It would rain quite hard at night and sometimes wash some things away. This is This is Jorge. He's from he lives up at Weimar, helps paint the buildings up there, and he's good friends with Jimmy Mian. And everybody, I just got to get this one funny picture of Leroy, but we had good food, and we had fresh fruit for breakfast, we had pancakes, we had oatmeal and French toast, you name it. We had pizza one night, all sorts of good food. It was a kind of a time to journal in early in the morning, and these are the three buddies from down in Lindsay Church, and they all were our interpreters. And if you can imagine carrying 200 pounds on your back, that's how they offload concrete. And Pollo was there in full force. Jimmy helped level things out and got things finished up for us. And a lot of wheelbarrows full of concrete went into that project. So we finished that project on Friday, and we were able to take our final pictures there Sabbath after church. But they've been walking through mud for the last 4 years, so it's nice to have something where they can finish off and come in and keep their little homes a lot cleaner. This is Albert. He's from up at Weimar also, and they made some shelves that they put in some of the new houses. You can see they already have the one with food on it before we even left. And this is Lily. Jim Gilbert helped with getting her wheelchair ready so she could go to school. So we modified that and we made a little ramp so she could get in and out of her room at the school. That's our group at the with all the other people that live in that building. And this is one little funny man from Copan. But we had a wonderful time there. And this is going to be a time where we can share with you. Whoever went on the trip can come up at any time and share one of their personal experiences. I want to tell you that if you think that maybe a mission trip is not for you, we have a gamut from young to old. So from first decade to eighth decade. So don't think that you can escape that age group. The only people that can escape that are those that are in their ninth decade. And so, but I want to invite you to come sometime, because for those of you that have gone and didn't go this year, the people remember you down there, and they always ask about you and how's everything going, and like, for example, how's JJ doing, and how are Jim and Missy doing, and they just really want to know how things are going. And so it's a second church for us that we go to. And the funny part is, you know, the door is open and the windows are open because there's no air conditioning or heating. And so sometimes they have three spider monkeys that live in the trees out there. And sometimes they actually do come into church with us and wander around. And sometimes there's always at least one dog in church. I don't know what that is, but that's just the way they are. They come down and lay down in church with us. And so it's an interesting place to go and visit. Does someone have one of our group like to come up and share something? All right, Kathleen, I'll let you be first.
First of all, I need to have the children, because I failed to give you the fun thing, okay? That's that eighth group or so that he was talking about. Anyway, children, you want to come and get your little prize or your little fun thing or your little Honduras? You were in Honduras. There you go. There you are, Ashley. Let's go for it. And here's Sydney. But she's a girl. I hear the thank yous. As soon as you get your little person, your Honduras person, you may go back to your seats. And then I'm going to share with mothers and daddies. Wow, I didn't know we had so many children. Thank you, Dr. Tom, for bringing all these little figures. You know, you might not think these are very much, but it takes probably a good day, a half a day to make one of these. Oh, you want one like that? Okay. Oh, here you are. There you are. Did everybody get one? Anyway, when you think about it, I brought home some other souvenirs like hot plates that would take 2 days to make in this type of thing. Their artwork and craft work there is really beautiful. I have many things. I had many experiences. One of them, I'm very impressed with the artisticness of the young people. They have to be creative. They don't have anything. And so they get a piece of paper, and they do all their little artwork on it, and then they write you a note. Now, when this was given to me, it had some stars. It had some little twine that it was put together with. And it was very, very humbling to me what Nellie does. And she does this each year. let me show you this other. Now, this is just a plain piece of paper that they made an envelope out of. And if you notice, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a flower here. And when you open it, then there's another flower. The artisticness of a design. And this was written by one of the students that John and I have been able to help sponsor to go to the Christian school. His name is Alejandro. And I didn't realize that Alejandro was from a very large family until this year. When I was there, I saw another boy that looked like Alejandro, but it wasn't him. It was a brother. And then at church, there was another boy, and I thought, well, that looks like Alejandro, but it was Moses, his brother. He has four brothers and two sisters. There's seven children. They've been there for 8 years. Now, the youngest sister, I think, was 11. And I don't know how old, because there's seven. So she's 11, 8 years, 3 years old. Nellie, my friend, came there when she was just a little past a year old. And she's 16 now, I believe. She's graduating from high school this year in November. If you really want an experience, this is where you need to go. I don't think you'll be able to see this, but again, I have a flower, a violin, and he has written in different colored inks. And this is a little longer Spanish and a little different words. I've had a harder time, so I'm waiting to find an interpreter to fully read it. Just as we were getting on the bus, a little girl, probably 7 or 8 years old, came up to me and handed me just a little piece of paper. Dear Catalina, I thank you for coming to help us. I love you. Thank you. Love. Yolanda, or something like that. You, huh? Yolani. Okay. But that's how they clamor to you. They hug you. They want to be by you. They want to do for you. And I think there's two things that just thrill my heart. 3 years ago when we went, John and I were going down, and I think I shared this, we were going down Rocky Stones, and this young girl, two girls, Tiffany, who is in dental school now, and Nellie, came up to John and I. Tiffany helped John because it was dangerous, and Nellie helped me. This trip, it was rainy, and it was dark, because we had to walk from the kitchen where the block building was over to where the dormitories, because that's where we stayed, and we had the blessedness of having a cold shower every morning there too. The others over by the kitchen, they had hot water. But anyway, Nellie, I was going out, and she said, I will stay, I will bring John. And so she takes his arm with the flashlight and walks all very slow all the way over. The goodness in her heart, she cares for people. And that, to me, is such a thrill to see how they grow. They have no mother, father, parent when they do something or they make an artistic thing like this to come home excited from school. They go to their room. And so I tell you, if you really want a mission experience and a fun time, and come back thrilled. But the thing that really sealed it for me, we were in the airport, and I was making a purchase, and the lady talked a little bit to me. She spoke English. And I told her what we were doing, and she looked up at me, and she said, Oh, I want to thank you for coming and helping our people. How much they appreciate we coming and helping their country people. God is good.
Anyone else? While anybody else is getting up their nerve, I just want to share one little story, and that is I took with me quite a large notepad of paper, of scrapbook paper. And so by the end of the trip, we were all receiving cards made with that paper. And for me, it's a little object lesson. Because, you know, the Lord gives us everything. Everything we have, every talent, every breath, every ability we have comes from Him. And He just wants us to take it, you know, and make it in our own little special way with our own personality and give it back. To give it back to Him in some form of service or love to someone else. We had a wonderful group, a very mixed group. We had the Lynn Harris family that came, plus there were mom, dad, brother, sister, and then a cousin. And I wish you could meet them. Well, some of you have because they've been here before. Oh, good. Willie's coming. And then we had Albert and George that came from Sacramento area. We had Lynn Harris's are actually from Chico. We had Sandra and Ruben that came, and Jimmy that came from Lindsay Church. And then Mike Teeling came down from Alaska. So it's always fun to see how God puts together a group. And I've given up on worrying about how God's going to work it all out and if the people are going to fit and if they can work. Or, you know, Gavin, I thought, how's Gavin going to work out? But Gavin was like the joy of the trip. We bonded with him, and he bonded with us and with the other kids, and he worked, and he loved. I think he has now an idea of what he wants to do for his life work. I mean, he really loved building with block. He loved laying block, and he loved cooking. I mean, he had a great time. So it was an awesome experience. Okay, Willie.
This was my first time being out of the States. I was the type of person growing up where everybody's like, oh, I want to go travel. And I'm like, eh, whatever. You know, I didn't really care. I had no desire, no drive to actually do it. So when this opportunity came up, I said, okay, well, let's see what happens. But I need to make sure I put my effort through. So, Lord, you want me to go, I'm going. And so I had to get a passport. I got it the week before we left. I drove down to San Francisco and got it the same day. That was an experience in itself. And then the airport experience. I had an airport experience, which if you would like that story, I can tell you that one later. But the cool thing is like Grandma Kathleen Lutz was saying, they are just so enthralled with you. Which is really, really weird. Because if you know that these people are only here for a short amount of time, 10 days, less than 10 days, you are not going to open your heart to them. It makes sense. Why would you open your heart to somebody who's just going to leave? But they do. They give it everything that they have and then some. That was so awesome to me to see and to experience. I love it there. I love the people there. And definitely a lot of people there I do miss and I do cherish in my heart. One of the cool things that Brian brought a football, Green Bay, obviously. And then and so we had that football and we're throwing it around back and forth and it was raining, just pouring down rain. And so we're in this huge, like what is it, our little, covered canopy, sure. And it was a metal structure, so we were trying to throw it through the rafters and whatever. And so we started kicking a little bit. And so a couple of kids came over, like, oh, well, let me kick. So we would start there, and we'd hold the ball for them, and they'd kick it right down to the other side. Within about 20 minutes, half an hour, there was 30 kids on this side and 30 kids on this side all wanting to kick the ball. And so it was, Pollo was down over here on this side. I was over here this side. We were holding the ball. They were kicking it back and forth. And the goal was to make it past the people so they couldn't get it. And so we just spent hours. I mean, I kid you not, right after lunch, and then we played all the way till dinner time. We kicked a ball. One ball between like almost 50 people. How awesome is that? That we are able to, and I don't know Spanish. None. And so hand motions were amazing. And there was a bunch of them, so you're just like, okay, what's your name? Tell me your name, you know. And so I'd figure out how to say, you know, what is your name in Spanish, so that way they could tell me, and I could say, Carlos, sí, kick, yes, go. And it was just a blast. I had so much fun and enjoyed it thoroughly. And just the experiences there, the people there sharing their heart. And even though here people are so reserved, so, you know, don't look at me, don't look at my heart, I'm going to show you something different. It just really pointed to me saying, I need to show my heart, no matter who it is, no matter if I'm going to meet them for 15 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 seconds, it doesn't matter. Show our hearts, because God can work through our hearts better.
Okay, here comes Charlene and Anya. I want to tell you, Anya was an amazing worker. She blew me away.
Well, I wrote my thoughts down because I was forced to journal. I got in trouble because I wasn't journaling every day. A lot of things struck me. It's very different to travel to one of the poorest third world country places around. And we were fortunate enough to get into the rooms that actually had warm water. So I was up, you know, 4:45 because I was going to get that warm water. And I'm like, it's freezing again. I'm trying not to scream so Leroy won't hear me in the kitchen screaming in the cold water. I'm like, okay, I just wasn't early enough. So the next day, I'm even earlier. And I'm like, what is up? There is no hot water here. There cannot be enough people taking a shower, until they finally told me that the hot water is plumbed on the right and not the left. I did not get the memo on that one. And another thing that struck me was the utter lack of complaining. I mean, we didn't really complain, but the people there, Eldon, one of the little boys that's there, I think he's 12. He's, I think, shorter than you. And one of his jobs is to get up at 5 a.m. and milk 30 cows by hand before school. And there's one man, Eldon, and another little boy, and they do this every day. And that's just their first job of the day. That's not the only thing they're going to do. That would probably take me all day, and that would be all of my jobs. Are you going to say anything? No? Okay. And another thing that really hit me is that the older kids totally take in and watch over the little kids. They tell them, you know, you go do this. They keep their eye on them. And it's very unusual to watch a group of children that don't really have a family contact and how they learn that skill rather than picking on or, you know, knuckling under the little kids. They really take care of them and watch out for them. And like Willie said, there's this totally unfiltered emotion. They don't care if they look silly. They're not wondering, do I look stupid? I mean, they like run and hug you. They kiss you. They say, I love you. They sit with you. And that's so lacking in our culture. We're always like, oh, they think I'm weird. I look stupid. Oh, yeah, that was very humbling. Another issue is very humbling to me is, you know, in our profession, we have a certain level of expertise, and so we have it all down. And obviously, I am not a construction worker. Albert was 22, taught me how to build trusses. You know, I had to measure a 312 pitch. He made me cut the wood. He made me put it together. We had to put gussets on there, you know, and I had to, like, suck up and listen to a 22-year-old. So, and then I got the wonderful job of laying block. I've never laid block. So Shani teaches me how to lay block and, you know, make it level, fill it with mortar, and then when you're ready, you have to yell, I need a man! to lift the block over the rebar. So I learned that phrase, and then they were right there, and they lifted that block over for us. Yeah, and then for my final thought, on our bus ride over to Copan, it just struck me how we're so different, our worlds are so different, but there's always a common thread. We pass a soccer match, and it's the shirts versus the skins. And I'm like, that's the shirts versus the skins. And it just reinforced that even though it's so different, our life is so different, there's many things that are very much the same.
I have to confess something. I think everyone's experienced that same thing with not knowing it's on the right instead of the left, but we just let everybody figure it out. Okay, somebody else needs to share. Raquel, something.
Sorry, I'm a little sick. I brought home something special from Honduras from the children, so I've been sick for a week now. But it was so much fun this year. Last year I was a little more reserved because it was my first time kind of there and I didn't really know anyone. This year I was a lot more comfortable and I really enjoyed myself. Some of the things just contrasting from what I enjoy about going to a place like Honduras and to an orphanage is the simplicity of life there and how the kids are just so... It doesn't take much to make these children happy. Like, I'm going to contrast this with my niece, Chanel. I love her very much, but she is a spoiled little brat. And I asked her, she was about 6 years old, I was like, oh, what do you want for Christmas, Chanel? She's like, I want a gift card so I can go get whatever I want. Like, that's, I'm like, so she got a children's Bible that year. The little girl, Kenya, and her older sister, Maria, live in this tin house, and their mom is an alcoholic, and she has no teeth, and they don't go to school. They're just filthy dirty, and it's just the saddest thing. But these girls come over every day, and they hang out as much as they can, and little Kenya would never go home on time because I know she just didn't want to go home. She wanted to spend time with us, so I was like, I want to get those girls something, so I went to town, and Callie helped me pick out some dresses, and I got both of them some dresses, and I gave Kenya this dress, and she was just so excited, like you can't even imagine. It was like just a blue, simple dress, but she was so happy that she started crying, like she was that appreciative. And little Maria, I can't even tell you, well, Maria is what, 16? How old is Maria? 14, she's 14. But I gave her that dress, and Maria gives like wrenching hugs, like she just attacks you and like squeezes you, and I gave her that dress and she would not let go of me, like she was so appreciative. And it was just the most exciting thing to see them on Sabbath wearing the stuff that I got them, and they were just so happy. And Maria just sat next to me and I told her how beautiful she looked, and she just hugged me and just would not let go, and it was just amazing. And so that was kind of the highlight of my time there, was just getting to hang out and give back to people who would just really appreciate the time. All they want is your time, and that's what I loved giving. And the other thing I love is just how these children play games. Like, they invited us over one night for Bouncy Bouncy Night. I really can't explain to you what that's like, but it's really intense, and you're sweating, and you're dancing around in circles, and you don't know really what's going on, but people are grabbing you and throwing you across the room, and it's a lot of fun. But that's how they have fun there, is they spend time together, and this is like going from the teenagers all the way to like the little five-year-olds. Everybody hangs out together, everybody's together, and that's what I just really enjoy about going there and being able to just give them my time for 10 days, so...
You know, you think of the kids with no parents, or maybe they have parents, but they never come to visit. But Kenya and Maria have parents. But there's, you'll see it in our last group of slides. You'll see a little tin house with the family standing in front of it. The man's holding a bicycle. And the mother stands with Kenya and Maria on either side, very excited about getting their picture taken, and they have their arms wrapped around their mother. But the mother stands with her arms in front of her like this. So basically, those girls have had no mother. She does have a drinking problem. But something that is dawning on me more and more is that every person has struggles growing up and in their families. And maybe yours hasn't been as extreme as to not have parents, but, you know, maybe things at home weren't the best when you were growing up. Maybe you didn't receive quite the love or nurturing that, you know, God would have loved to have you receive growing up. But that's what church is about. Church is the body of Christ, and it is the family. And as Raquel was saying, we need to learn to let our hair down here. This isn't a place to come to be perfect. This is a place where we share our pains and our sorrows, and it's only in relationship that we restore or gain what we didn't get maybe growing up. Because we learn everything in relationship. You can read a book about it and say, oh yeah, I know that. But it's only in our relationships and our dealings with others that we really learn about what love is, what affection feels like, what acceptance feels like. And so, you know, God's design is that the church function as the place to restore and heal and grow and love each other in such a way that we can turn into those people that Jesus wants us to be. So we can go out and love on everybody else too. I'm sure there's somebody else that wants to say something. Oh, good, Leroy. By the way, this man works his tail off. It is amazing. He never leaves the kitchen. He plans months in advance the menu, and then several months in advance, he buys goods, all kinds of groceries, things from the ABC, ships them down there, and then we just walk in through two meals a day. We actually eat one meal with the kids. Two meals a day, we walk in, and we have this wonderful food at our plate. And I can tell you that everyone was just like, whoa, are we on a mission trip? This is like eating out. It's amazing. So thank Leroy today. He's an amazing guy.
Well, I just want to thank the Vecchiarellis and Michelle Weisner. They supply us scrubs every year that we go down there, and it's very nice of them. It's very helpful. It's a little cooler for when you're working. That's very, very nice, and it can be really hot. When I first got down there, Jimmy was putting in the circle for the stairs, and so we went out and washed them. In about 5 minutes, I was out there sweating to death because it was so hot because of the sun. So it was nice that actually God was really good to us, that he gave the clouds to be kind of, there was kind of a light rain. It never rained really hard while they were out there working on the pavement, but at night it did rain really hard. But they had great weather to be able to put these blocks and everything in because it does get real hot. When Jimmy and I were down there, when he was putting the circle around, he was making some stakes that had kind of an arrow-type point that would go into the ground and make it easier. One of the kids is called Renee. He's about probably 4 or 5 years old. He was picking up the scraps that Jimmy was cutting off, and he made a little design. Over on the side, it was like a mosaic type thing. It was really cool, you know, just to think what they're happy to be able to make something with just the scraps that we think is, you know, throw away, and here they make something nice out of it. It's just a very rewarding experience to go down there, and if any of you get a chance, please come. We can always use help in all different ages. And they appreciate everything that you folks have sent, the pencils, the papers in your boxes for them. For school, they need the things for school and the what you've send them, they don't, the school there doesn't have to buy the pencils and everything, and it kind of makes it a little easier on the people working there. Because the school supplies are very expensive, and they don't think they had their books quite yet. They were getting them when we were there, but school had started about a week before. So they appreciate everything that you give them, and they said, tell you thank you, thank you.
Someone else?
What Raquel was talking about, just being appreciative of what is given to you. I want to say that Tom and Callie have worked their tails off as well to make this thing happen, not just this year, but all the other years past. And so really just come up to them, give them a hug, and tell them how much, because they did good work, they got everything together, they made it all happen, and getting through customs is a chore. But we did it in such a way that it was really just quick, easy, and efficient. And it was amazing. So really, Tom and Callie, thank you very much for making this happen and making it possible for all of us to experience this experience.
Someone else want to share this morning? No one else? I know Ed's over there poking all the girls. Get up. Get up. There's no pressure, Allison. No pressure. Who else is sitting over there? Chandra. No pressure at all. No. Brian, it's your third year. You've got to have gotten something out of this the third time around. Brian is a really hard worker.
All right. I had three memorable experiences, I think, when I was there. The first one was we were in church, and Kenny, you saw her on the slideshow, came and sat down next to me. She's mine and Pollo's, probably one of our favorites. And we're sitting down there, and it's evening worship, and she's sitting next to me, and I look down at her, and she's wearing white pants and a little skirt and like a little white top and a little tank top, and she's completely filthy, and she's just dirty as can be, and she's just got her arm around me, and she's all just completely happy, and happy to be there with everybody and doing everything with us, and she's just all smiles, and it made me think when I was looking down at her that she just lives in the moment. They all just live in the moment down there, and I need to apply that to my life here, I think. Something I need to push for, I think, more. And then another one was on our way back from Koh Phong. We were on the bus ride, and we're just completely exhausted from being up at 7 or so in the morning. And we're 5-hour bus ride, exhaust smells, speed bumps, sitting next to somebody on the bus. The seats are so close that you can't get comfortable. You're trying to get your legs up on there, and you're wiped out tired. And by the time you get back to the complex, there's nobody there when you first pull in. And then we pull in, and we come to a stop, and we start getting our stuff and getting off the bus. And then there's 30 kids out there, and they're just ecstatic to see you. And as you're getting off the bus, they're giving you hugs and kisses and I love you, and they're just so happy to see you. And it's like 9:30 at night, and it was just, I don't know, empowering. It made me feel really good to be there and bring those smiles to those kids' faces and be in that moment. So, and these two are amazing, and Leroy, food, great. Lutz, thank you for sponsoring me. Thank you.
Someone else today. Well, I want to share with you just a little experience that I had this morning. I'm going to read you just a little scripture this morning before we watch our final set of slides. This is taken from John chapter 12, verse 3. Jesus is at dinner, and it's just after Lazarus has been raised from the dead. Lazarus is there. It says in John chapter 12, verse 3, it says, Mary took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Each year I go to Honduras, it's something else. Something grabs a hold of you that's different. And Callie and I had an experience this year that was very interesting to me. When we went in December with the dental students and the medical students from Loma Linda, one of the ladies that went with us, she's a sophomore dental student, she was just really taken with the experience, and she wants to come back next year when we go. And she's from, her home church is in Pennsylvania. And so she calls her dad up and says, these people need lots of clothes and stuff. And so about 3 days before we left, I get this like 60 pounds worth of clothes and t-shirts, shoes, all different sizes, from little kid stuff to adult stuff. And so we're out in front of the where we stay one day, and two ladies show up, and they have their two little boys with them, and their boys were about maybe 6 and 8 years old, and they said, we hear you have some clothes. And so we went in, and I bring out this huge duffel bag that's just full of t-shirts, and I don't know what size is what. So we're looking through, and we find them a couple of t-shirts, two or three t-shirts each. And then Callie's got this bag of shoes, and she's looking through, and she gets, these shoes out, and they're just leftover shoes, okay? They're not brand new. And it's just this really crazy thing. This lady starts to pray, and she just prays this wonderful prayer for about like 2 or 3 minutes. Not just, thank you, God, for the shoes. It's like, oh, God, thank you so much. I just praise your name. I could hear her saying it in Spanish. And she's just, I don't know, it's just one of those things. I don't know if you've ever thanked God for your t-shirt, but I sure haven't. I haven't thanked God for a pair of flip-flops. I mean, I thank God for life, but to just be like, oh, God, thank you so much that these people came and brought me these t-shirts. I mean, you'll see a picture of her. Her pants are so small that she can't even zip the zipper up. And she lives about 3 miles from town, and they had walked into town. And they were at church the next day, and just the concept of being thankful for everything in your life. And you'll see lots of pictures of Kenya and Maria, because they live out just a little ways from our campus, and they hate being at home. They want to be with us because that's where love is. There's no love at their house, just absolutely none. I mean, you'll see a picture of them with their parents, and their parents are just stone-faced. There's no love at all. And then this other thing that happened to me that was really amazing, a group that's similar to Habitat for Humanity built some houses for some of the single moms this past year. And they don't have any, it's very simple. It's about, I don't know, what would you say, about 400 square feet, the house is. And they divide it into two little bedrooms, and then they have a kind of kitchen, family room, if you want to call it that. They have a little outhouse around, outside. There's no electricity in these houses yet. Some of them have water, if they've been able to pay for the water. We helped pay one lady so she could get water in her house. But while I was standing there, there's a little slum down below these nice houses that are kind of up on the side of a hill. And all of a sudden there's this person, little boy, his name is Crosby. I can remember because Bing Crosby, I don't know. So I just, it's Bing Crosby there down in Honduras. He's got this little paper and he shows it to me. And he goes to the public school. And it was the supplies that he needed. And he was, and I said, what's this? And because I could see that it was pencils and markers and things. And the people that we were there with said, they can't afford to buy these supplies, but these are the supplies he needs to go to school. And I just know that he looked up and he said, there's an American. I know he's got money. And
And I did have money. And it was just one of those things where you go, you know, this person, it was like that lady in the Bible that just said, we're like Bartimaeus, you know, he hears Jesus going by and he's, this is my one chance. You know, I don't know if I was going to be up at that building again, but he just says, I'm going to take a chance. And so I said, well, can you have his mother come over? And so I have a picture of them. You'll see it. There's a bunch of little girls and little boys, and they're just standing there with the little smiles. And so it was $15 for him to go to school with all the supplies. They could just never afford that. I mean, you think of it, it's crazy, the discrepancy in living expenses and just how life is. But so I gave them $20 so they could go and get all those supplies. And that's the kind of experiences that we have. And it's just a really cool way to be able to make a difference in somebody else's life. And I can tell you personally that you will have your life changed if you go. And so Don and Diane Bray came over to the office this week, and I was showing them some pictures of their friend Douglas that they had gotten Christmas present for and in a little video. And Diane says, I want to go there next year. And so I think Don and Diane might be going with us next year. That'll be cool. And the thought that came to my mind is when the lady washed Jesus' feet and put the precious perfume on his feet, the fragrance filled the room. And that day, I could just smell that fragrance of that perfume and that smell. And I just want to live in that fragrance each day. I want to smell that fragrance of love, the expression of love that lady gave to Jesus. And I just want to encourage you, as you go through the week, as you go through the day, sniff a little bit. See if you can smell that fragrance. If you don't smell it, then make it happen, because we are the ones that choose to open the bottle and to give it to someone in need. And that's really what these trips are all about, is to go and make a difference in somebody's life. You can go anywhere around the world. If God sends you somewhere, whether it be China or I don't care where it is, go do that. But for us, we've landed in Honduras, and I think I'm stuck there. But it's a beautiful place to go and get an initiation to something that will change your life. And so we're going to show a little video. It's listen to the words and just look at the expressions on the people's faces. Let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for giving your life for us. And I know that we can give, but we really need your direction on how to give. And we need your love inside of our hearts so that we will have that fragrance that is so attractive and will draw others to you. And so today, we just pray for that sensitivity and that strength to just give the best that we have. And we ask that as we go forth from this place, that you would help us to look around, Lord, and see who really needs your help. And help us not to be bashful, but to just get out there and do something. Lord, let us serve you in a way that will change this world and change our lives too, and those that we touch. Thank you so much for all you do for us. Thank you for everything that you've given to us. And we ask that you would just take us through this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.